Blog Talk Radio.
Weigh-In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, November 18th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564 or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino or follow us on Twitter at Weigh-In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
Thanks, Michelle, for the intro. Just like she said, welcome everyone to a live edition of Weigh In Sports. We are the featured show tonight on blogtalkradio.com. So thanks for joining us again. And last week, Trey, I talked about it. We talked about it. Everyone talked about it, that nobody is talking about this past weekend in college football. That is a huge disaster waiting to happen when games like that line up. It's November. Every game is important. And I'm shocked in ways, but also I'm not. So, Trey, tell me what your thoughts are about this wild, wild weekend.
We talked about it last week, Tarver. I mean, the thing is I don't think people realize the history of upsets in November in college football, especially when you have – you know, new number ones and new teams at the very top who haven't prepared to be up that high and haven't prepared to, you know, basically not only live the week as in prepping it, but live the week as in the hype of the week. You're talking about Kansas State, Marvin, this week. They had to lead into this week not only being the number one team in the nation, you know, BCS game, but also all the hype of Klein and the Heisman Trophy. So the distraction that comes with being number one takes not only mental preparedness for the players, but the coaches as well, and that's why it's so easy to be upset. It's not necessarily a knock on the teams being bad. It's just, you know, Baylor, all they had to do, you know, and same as Stanford, is come out and play hard and look at their game plan. They weren't the ones coming into this week with attention, and that's why you see so many upsets this week.
Yeah, I mean, you just see it. I mean, like we talked about, in November, every game starts, you know, in October, you know, everything's okay. You haven't proven really anything. But when it gets to November and all of a sudden you're moved up to the number one team and you're not used to being in that position, you know, everybody's patting you on the back. Every time you turn on the news, people are saying Kansas State, Oregon, you know, they're unbeatable. The rest of their schedule, you have Heisman candidates for both teams. And it's just a perfect recipe, man. And if everybody last week, the SEC was dead. You know, no shot of getting back to the title game. The sixth in a row was over. And all of a sudden, you know, you could possibly have an all-SEC championship game. It's not likely, but it could easily happen. I mean, all the upsets we see, Florida could sneak in. LSU is still at 7. You know, with a wild, wacky couple of weeks, you know, you could see LSU come from 7 up to number 2. So at the end of the day, Trey, is the SEC out of it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. SEC right now is in it. I mean, currently, Alabama is now the, has their locked position into the BCS at number 2. So it's again, theirs to lose with, of course, Notre Dame, who just has slowly and slowly kept rising through the ranks. And that record that Notre Dame has is looking better and better, Carmen. I mean, how big is the win that Notre Dame had against Stanford now?
That's what I said today. I mean, looking at it, Stanford looked like, it's just Stanford. But, you know, they're getting better week in and week out. You know, Notre Dame, and the one thing we all forget about when Notre Dame plays is they're well-coached, but they have a great defense. And maybe not the best passing defense, but overall a great defense. And later in this show, we're going to talk about our scenarios that could get different teams, you know, in the game or leave them out. And also, Notre Dame could be you know, very fortunate with Matt Barkley for Southern Cal being out due to injury. So pray if Matt Barkley doesn't play this Saturday, it's all not a given, but it's a lot easier road for Notre Dame.
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, Notre Dame has just caught a lot of breaks this year, and they played good, solid defensive football. They kind of played SEC-style football. So you got to give it to Notre Dame to be where they are. You know, I still like Alabama's chance in the national title game against them, but, I mean, they absolutely deserve to be number one. They're the last meeting that matters because no one cares about Ohio State.
Yeah, and also we're going to talk about can Oregon. You know, can Oregon climb the hill Alabama did last year and backdoor their way into a national championship game without playing for their conference championship? So that's possible what we're going to talk about. But one thing that surprised me real quick, and we'll talk about it later in the show, is Kansas State gets beat by 28 points to a 1-5 team in their conference, and they're still number, I think they're number six in the BCS, am I right?
Yeah, and that's the biggest shocker to me is that Kansas State is still so highly ranked. I mean, I think, it was on the road, but the point is they didn't get on the road and get beaten over time like Oregon did. I mean, they got drummed, Tarvin. They just got drummed.
And, it was never in doubt watching it. And Baylor threw an interception for a touchdown from their one-yard line, or this game would have been 35 points. So how in the world can you stay? You know, Alabama dropped from 1-4 in the BCS when they lost at home to a 15th-ranked team. So that's three places they dropped. Kansas State was number one. They dropped five places, only losing to an unranked team in Baylor. And Baylor's defense is one of the worst in the country. The last night those guys came together, and like I said, we'll discuss these games when we break it down. But, my God, the country is silent today. You know, a lot of SEC haters out there, Trey, are looking on it now and going, oh, no, here it comes again, you know. Here it is. The SEC is not dead.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also, one thing that came out, Bama and every SEC team in the top 10 would be favored over Notre Dame if they played the national championship game. So that's interesting. You have Florida, Georgia, LSU, Texas A&M, Bama. There's five teams in the top 10 that would be favored over Notre Dame. Bama, the biggest margin by 10. So what do you think about that? What does that say about the SEC conference?
That doesn't say much to me. I think, to be honest, that some of those teams that are ranked highly in the SEC are overranked at this point. We've learned a lot about some of these teams throughout the year, and I just think they're even overranked as it is. I mean, South Carolina is one of those teams. I mean, I don't have much on the way of what South Carolina would do against Notre Dame. I don't think they would win the game at all. So, I mean, there's some of those teams up there, Tarvin, that I think are pretty soft. I think LSU's a little soft as well. I mean, LSU, you know, struggled again this week. They've had their problems against some teams. So, yeah, I just don't think those two lost SEC teams have a discussion we should be having for the national championship type of picture.
No, it was just an if scenario, if they played. And honestly, Notre Dame getting into the championship game this year is not going to be a good end result for them, whoever they play. I mean, even I think if they played Oregon, maybe Oregon showed they are soft in ways and physical style of offenses really give them trouble and defenses. But I'm telling you, if Notre Dame plays Alabama in that game, which I still think Notre Dame probably will lose this week, I think Alabama could blow these guys out. And I want to see Alabama, maybe if they play somebody like an Oregon or Georgia, Oregon, somebody like that in that game. I want to see some excitement. And also, Trey, I need to ask you a question. Florida State, you know, people were talking about them possibly backdooring their way in. They're number 10 in the BCS. What do you think about that?
Well, the AP didn't move them, Mom. I think part of the problem, as we've been talking about, is Florida State hasn't won some of the games they should have by enough margin. I mean, but that's really not the problem. Really, the problem for Florida State is the computer polls. But if you look at what Kansas State did, they lose far worse than Florida State did. Their strength of schedule is about the same. You know, why didn't Kansas State fall as low as Florida State did? So, I mean, I think that's a beef if you're a Florida State fan that you have is, you know, why didn't Kansas State fall like Florida State did? With their one loss on the road, I mean, Kansas State got just drummed by an unranked team. Florida State lost a close one. So, you know, those are about the apples and apples you can compare. I think the rest of it's apples and oranges, Tarvin.
And I was wanting you to bring that point up. I was really wanting you to, and you did. They went on the road, Florida State, and lost to an unranked NC State team, and it's just like they fell out of existence. Kansas State does the same thing, and they're still in the hunt in a way. I don't think they could get back, but you never know when all this chaos keeps happening. And we're going to break down college football very, very shortly. And I'm just still, you know, just thinking about this past weekend, all the craziness that's happened, and I want to come back to football. But, Trey, tell me about the MVP winners real quick in baseball.
Well, you know, the big debate really was, you know, Mike. I mean, obviously the NL, Buster Posey won it. I think everybody thought that Buster Posey was going to win it. The big deal there is he's a catcher. Catchers don't win the MVP. It's been quite a while since the catchers won the MVP. But the big debate was Mike Trout, you know, the Rookie of the Year winner versus Miguel Cabrera, the Triple Crown winner. And I think that was a lot of the big debate that went on for the MVP of who should have won that in baseball. Ultimately, of course, Miguel Cabrera won it, and I think that was the right call. I really do.
I mean, how can you deny a Triple Crown winner? I mean, MVP. I mean, he's feared. You know, Trout, okay, you know, he's a good Rookie of the Year, but Trout did not even come close to deserving the MVP award. That goes all to the Triple Crown winner, so I don't have much of a problem with that. I know some people do, depending on the teams. But, you know, it is what it is. Miguel Cabrera is the best player in the game right now.
I think what a lot of people, and to be honest, I think it's a close vote. And the reason I give it to Miguel Cabrera is because in this day and age, it's become so hard to hit the Triple Crown. You look at, if the MVP is a total player, there's two debates that really distinguish the two. One is defensively, Mike Trout is a far better player on defense, far more complete player. Miguel Cabrera is a liability on defense. So you're like, okay, if you look at the complete player, Trout wins that way. So where I think Trout lost the MVP, Carvin, and for all of you guys listening and calling if you disagree, but I think Trout lost the MVP because his team didn't make the playoffs. I mean, he couldn't pull his team with Albert Pujols sitting alongside him in the playoffs where Miguel Cabrera, the Prince Fielder, did. And I think that was the difference for a lot of voters.
You know, in NBA basketball, you know, the dumb player of the year award goes to Andrew Bynum. You know, he's had knee injuries, and he goes bowling last night, and now his knee's swollen up even more. It caused some damage. What do you think about this cat getting traded? Now he's not even going to be on the court.
Well, if you recall, when this trade went down, I thought, you know, everybody was like, look at Bynum's numbers last year. This guy's, you know, he's going to break out. He's finally done it. I thought, nope, this guy's as terrible as he's always been, and this is the worst trade possible. You know, Dwight Howard going and all his moves. Just terrible, Tarvin. Just terrible, terrible, terrible. This kid is never going to be any good in the NBA. I mean, he just isn't. And this is just another example of just something that happens to him, that only happens to him and no one else.
Yep, and you know, in basketball, the New York Knicks, you know, were 7-0, I believe, 6-0 or 7-0, and they actually lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that we talk about a lot as being that dark horse team that could come out and win the NBA championship this year. NBA is still early, very, very early, and looking at it, the Lakers right now, 4-5, three games back. Made a coaching change, didn't hire Phil Jackson back, and later in the season we'll talk about, or later in the next few weeks when football dies down, we'll really break down this NBA season and go through it. But tonight is about football. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to talk about. So, Trey, NFL today, man, it was any exciting games you saw?
Well, I mean, the NFL was kind of interesting today. I mean, no real games that I think that are going to define this season when it comes down to, like, you know, these are the games that we're going to watch and, you know, think back on. Matt Ryan throwing 5 interceptions and still winning the game, that's pretty incredible. And then, of course, I mean, the big game has to be the Matt Schaub 527 yards, tying the second highest, or tying Warren Moon for the second most yards in the game. I mean, just him and Andre Johnson, their games were ginormous. And I know Andre Johnson helped you propel for fantasy win today, so I'm sure you're happy with that.
You know, honestly, I thought about benching him earlier in the week. I was just going through, looking at my receivers. How dumb would I have looked if Andre Johnson was sitting on my bench with 40 points?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, it surprised me that the Texans had to, I mean, barely beat the Cardinals. I mean, you're the best team supposed to be in the NFL. You're at home. Is parity that good in football in the NFL, Trey, or did the Texans overlook this Arizona team?
I think part of it. I mean, the fact is every NFL team has a pretty good baseline of talent. And so it really boils down to execution and you know, if a player gets hurt and that kind of stuff. I mean, it boils down to very small things in the NFL. And, of course, you have the superstars who really do give you the edge. But in these type of games, I mean, it really boils down to, I think, partly – the Jaguars, I mean, who knew that the backup quarterback was going to come in and play that well? I mean, that was part of the X factor. But the other half is, I mean, certainly I think the Texans were probably looking past this game a little bit in preparation. I mean, I think that it's almost impossible when you're facing, you know, the Chiefs or the Jaguars this year.
Exactly. And we'll go ahead and we're going to let Trey start us out. And we're going to break down some of these games real quick, and then the rest of the night is going to be college football, and it's going to be about the listeners out there calling in. We want to hear from you, 646-716-5564. Before we get started on that, I want to say hi to people in the chat room, some of our regulars out there. We have Bruce Cowart, Brian Burgess, Chris Smelly. We have two guests. Go out and register on blocktalkradio.com so you can come in here and talk and enjoy some of the festivities. Jason Humphrey, our big Oregon Ducks supporter, is here. Kudos to him for showing up after his loss last night. Jason Minson, Jonathan Miklos, Joshua Shaw, the Vegas odds makers here, Sonia Minson, Tino Blackstock, and Trey, you're here as well. So hello, everyone, and let's have some fun. Trey, get us started, man.
Yeah, we don't want to spend too much time on NFL just because the college world is just shaking to its core, and I think – a lot of folks want to talk about the BCS shakeup and whatnot. So at this point, it's kind of relevant to talk about the what-ifs. So we'll get to that pretty soon in the show. Let's start off with the NFL. First game, Tarvin. Peyton Manning, again, you know, takes the Chargers down. It was a pretty good game. Phillip Rivers did not play well in this game. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Peyton Manning looked good. Phillip Rivers did not.
Well, I mean, no surprise here. I am a little surprised that Denver only won by 7. You know, I thought it would be about 10 at least. The point spread on that game I'm looking at 7.5. Denver won by 7. So if you bet on Denver today, you're very upset because you lost by 0.5 point. So congratulations. But I'm not surprised that Peyton Manning got a win at home against the struggling San Diego Chargers. I mean, North Turner, how long is he going to be there, Trey? I'm just sick of seeing him on the sideline.
I think this year is, I mean, it's up and down. This is him and the Chargers have been. It's been hard for, I think, the ownership who like North to get rid of him. But I think with this year and this team, I think it's time. I mean, this team really isn't going anywhere. They're showing no signs of progression this year. They're showing like they're going to be a 7-9 team, and that's just not the team they paid for. That's not the team they put on the field. This team's got actually pretty good talent. So, I mean, if you're going to believe in Phillip Rivers, I think, it's, you know, North Turner's got to go. If North Turner were to stay, I think Phillip Rivers would be gone. So, I mean, you're going to have to make a choice as ownership one way or the other.
Trey, I'm getting called out in the chat room by Jonathan Miklos about the Tampa Bay. Did I make a crazy prediction and say Carolina would beat Tampa?
Yeah, you did.
Ah, that's why he's giving me grief, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, people always remind you of when you screw up or when you're wrong. They never come up and say, Brian, you were right. Congratulations. It's always, Brian, you were wrong.
Guess what, Mama? Brian's wrong again.
But anyway, the Denver Broncos are a force to be reckoned with right now. And I think the longer this season goes, Peyton Manning is getting better week in and week out. And I really think Denver can make some noise in the playoffs because the defense is pretty good. They can run the football. And Peyton Manning is going to be Peyton Manning more and more every week. So Trey, I'm going to go ahead and say Denver is a serious playoff contender this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to win this division pretty easily. I mean, with the Raiders struggling like they are and the Chiefs struggling, and now with, you know, the Chargers down 4-6. I mean, this is the Broncos. If you look at their schedule, they have one of the easier schedules coming up. I mean, they actually have played the brunt of their tough schedule at the beginning of the year. They came out of it over 500. So this is a team that's probably going to win 11 or 12 games at this point.
Yep. So I'll pick Denver. You pick Denver in this game. So we both get 2 stars for that one.
Yeah, we'll have to make up for the terrible picking I did in college. But the Packers and the Lions, this game was actually a sloppily played good game, if that makes sense. Packers pulled down the road. I mean, let me ask you guys in the chat room, I mean, are the Lions done at 4-6? And this is a team that came in with a lot of playoff aspirations. And are they in the hole now too much at 4-6?
And that's a good question. And on the show, I picked Detroit to win this game because, remember I said, this is the game that could flip their season and define a lot. They lost today at home. I think they're done. And I'm interested to see what people in the chat room say. If they could have pulled this game out, I think they could have went on a run maybe and maybe got in as a wild card. But it's over for them, Trey. The Bears and the Packers are it in that division right now. Minnesota's not too bad, but I just don't see Detroit turning this around. I think they're going to quit.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like people in the chat room, Detroit's done. You know, so they're agreeing as well. I mean, I don't want to go on this game too much, but that's the point that we made here is I think that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back for the Detroit Lions.
We'll have to see. Well, I have a question for everybody in the chat room. The Megatron being on the cover of Madden, you know, it was between him and Cam Newton. Did it affect Megatron getting on the cover, Trey?
It didn't affect him today. He had a huge day. So I know his touchdowns are down, but he is leading the league in yards. So, I mean, I think the jinx was broken this year. But, I mean, obviously the touchdowns are down, but this guy's still leading the league in reception yards.
Well, Smelly agrees with me, so he says yes. At least somebody does.
I'll move us on. This game shouldn't be much. The Patriots dropped a 50 hammer on the Colts. Clearly the Colts have a lot of growing to do. I mean, they've been playing well. This was their sort of litmus test to determine how legitimate they really are. And it looks like the Patriots just pulled the pants down, Tarvin. I mean, what'd you think about this game?
Yeah, I think the Colts, even though they're better this year, they still haven't beat that quality team yet. And this was right. This was a test to see, okay, how good are you, Andrew Luck, and the Colts in general? Well, Andrew Luck looked like a rookie today a lot. And it happens when you go on the road and Tom Brady, you know, probably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. It's just hard to go and beat a quarterback of that caliber with a team like the Colts right now. The Colts are one of those teams that could sneak in a wild card, but they're still not ready to compete with the big boys of the AFC like the Texans, really, the Patriots, the Steelers. So, but a good football team. I'm very impressed with them this year so far, what they've done with Andrew Luck. But he looked like a rookie today, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point here is, you know, they've improved a lot on offense. You saw Luck had a pretty good day. He threw two picks, which is not uncommon for a rookie playing a Belichick defense. And you had the team is still growing. I mean, they still don't have the talent on defense to compete with an offense and a team like the Patriots. So, I mean, the fact that this team has improved 5 wins already should tell you a lot about how well they did in the draft last year. But if you're a Colts fan, I wouldn't expect to go, you know, 1 win to 16.
Okay. Well, I picked I don't know if this was on our list, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I was thinking about something else. But I almost picked the Colts in this game, and it was because of the Patriots, the way they've looked all season long, Trey. I've seen them just play bad defense, barely beat teams, so I'm so glad I didn't pull the trigger and pick them. But I did pick Reggie Wayne to start today, and that was a mistake as well. So, hey, you live and learn, right?
Well, Reggie Wayne's been having a pretty good year. He's top three in rank and yards, so – you know, you got to go with him. Luck's still 3 for 300 yards. So, you know, I'll move on the song, Carvin. Our next game is being played right now.
Hold on just a second, Trey. We have a caller, 727 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
It's Jonathan McClose.
Hey, Jonathan, what's up, man?
First off, Cam Newton, terrible. Terrible. Showed it today. Terrible. Come on,
terrible,
now.
Terrible, how? How's he terrible? What happened?
He had a horrendous game. I mean, Rondae Barber came in today saying, you know what I love about playing Cam Newton? You know you're going to get at least one free turnover. I mean,
he didn't turn it over today, did he?
No. Wait, I think he lost one fumble, I believe. That's it.
No, he didn't.
Who lost the fumble then?
I don't know, but he didn't fumble, did he, Trey?
No, Cam had zero turnovers today. He was
boom. Ooh, all right. You got me. You got me. But the main reason I really wanted to call in was the BCS.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes.
All right, that sounds great.
And stay on right now, and I'll put you back on in just a few, okay? We're almost there.
All right, thank you.
All right. All right, Trey, take us on, buddy. Take us on.
Well, Carmen, our next game is being played right now. It's the Baltimore up by 3 on Pittsburgh. Neither one of us had much faith in old Byron Leftwich, but his fleet of foot scrambled 31 yards for a touchdown. Any idea that this guy is going to do it and the Pittsburgh wins and makes us look bad?
Yeah, I figured he would do good tonight just because everybody's thinking he won't do good. But I think that they said that's the longest run by a quarterback in a certain amount of time, a long time. So I never thought Byron Leftwich would be the quarterback. I thought it would be Ben Roethlisberger having that record. But I don't know if they can win tonight, Trey, honestly, over four quarters. What's the score now, 7-3? I'm trying to see the score. I don't see the score. But, I don't think Pittsburgh really, honestly, can hang with Baltimore this entire game. Baltimore's up 10-7 right now.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking for the score.
Jonathan messed me up calling in like that, getting on Cam Newton out of nowhere.
He got you off. And Darnell last game, and we'll see where we're second on this game throughout the night at the end. But our next game is the Monday Night Football game. The Bears and the 49ers could have two backup quarterbacks, so we'll talk about this game on Wednesday.
Yep, I think I still don't know the point spread on that game. I think it's like 4. San Francisco's favored, so. And the Steelers uniforms tonight, man, God, they're ugly. What are they trying to do tonight? Play with Maryland and Oregon?
It's their throwback convict uniforms. I think, I don't know. This is their second time wearing their throwbacks, but yeah, they're not attractive.
All right. Well, you know what, Trey? NFL is over for today, and now we're going to open it up, and we're going to talk some college football, hopefully for at least the next hour. And we're going to see what all we get. I know there's so many fans out there right now that are happy, and there's a lot sad. But before we get into the BCS, big news out of Tennessee today, Derek Dooley is fired after that performance last night against Vanderbilt. Trey, what do you think?
Well, I mean, you and I talked about that it was time, you know, so I'm not surprised. They had said they were going to give him to the end of the year, which made absolutely no sense. I think this means they probably have someone in mind already. Yeah, I think you pull the trigger early because you have something working. I mean, I don't think it helps them to pull the trigger now unless they either have somebody they want to bring in an interview now, or if they're looking seriously to give somebody the heads up on recruiting. So I think they have somebody in mind.
Yeah, and I commend Tennessee for go ahead and pulling the trigger. And removing him now. Don't let him come next Saturday and be a distraction. So now there's no distraction for Tennessee. They play Kentucky. They should beat Kentucky with me coaching out there. So Tennessee's going to end the season 5-7, I believe. They're going to be short of a bowl game, which is a lot lower than we predicted preseason, Trey, and that's the reason Dooley's gone.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I wasn't too high on Tennessee coming into the year, but you thought this was going to be enough of a year where they actually were on the sort of that teetering point of being good. So you kind of thought 7 wins, maybe even up to 10, if they actually were to put everything together. But they didn't even make that 7 win mark. So yeah, I think Dooley just didn't show any progression in the program, and I think he lost a lot of people inside the program as well.
Well, I was on the phone last night talking to Bruce. He's a big Tennessee fan. At the same time that Tennessee fakes a punt, I believe, from their own 15-yard line, the punter throws the ball probably 5 yards before even the receiver was there, and Dooley's smiling on the sidelines about it. First of all, you're faking a punt against Vanderbilt. It's your own team. That's a big problem right there. That shows desperation. But Tennessee, the same thing. They play well in the first half of the games, and then they fall apart in the second half, which that's a sign of conditioning. That's a sign of coaching with the adjustments. it's just a bad situation for Tennessee. So tell me, Trey, if you're Tennessee right now, who do you want as your head coach that's out there? I've heard names of Gary Patterson. I've heard Charlie Strong. I've heard Tommy Tuberville and John Gruden. Who do you like?
Well, I mean, I think if you can get a Gruden, I mean, I think that's the best bet. I think that's the most buzz name that I've heard about that. However, I haven't heard, you know, the legitimate factors of whether he's actually considering it, you haven't actually heard. And correct me if I'm in the chat or if I'm wrong, but I haven't heard of John Gruden actually visiting Tennessee or doing anything that would indicate John Gruden has actually showed some interest other than the fact that Tennessee might be interested.
I heard Sylvester Croom was a number one candidate. Did you hear that, Trey?
I did not hear him.
I'm joking, man.
I was like, I didn't hear his name, Carvin. I don't know where you're going with that one.
I heard that Florida State, if Jimbo Fisher comes to Auburn, that Lou Holtz will be taking the Florida State position. Thoughts?
You heard that I'm quitting Florida State ever forever because I'm
burning
all my paraphernalia.
If he's your coach, two things. He will pick you to win the national championship every year, and there will be a brawl at midfield between your rival every season. So that's two things to look forward to with Lou Holtz as a coach. But another rumor in the coaching world, you know, to Auburn, maybe Steve Spurrier. But I'm going to tell people now what I'm hearing. Gene Chizik will be the coach at Auburn next year, which is surprising to me. But anything can happen. Rumors are rumors. It's hard to get the truth. Right now with facts, nobody really knows what's going on, but Trey is looking more and more like they're going to give Chizik another year. Do you think that's a mistake?
You know, it's got to be one of those things that, you know, you saw some of the recruiting names and what they said when they talked about firing Chizik, and you heard even Reuben Foster, who has a tattoo of Auburn on his arm, that if Chizik was fired, he may reconsider his tattoo and his commitment. So, I don't know if it's a confidence in Chizik which has gotten this talk, or if it's the fact that they couldn't get the people they really wanted to interview, the Jeff Fishers or the those guys of the world, or if it's just the fact that they want those commitments to come in and see what he does for next year. It could be any of those three things or all of them combined.
And I think it's really more along the lines of, you know, who are you going to hire out there? I think it's the case of maybe nobody's actually decided to take the job, maybe. And I mean, here's the deal. I've said it all along. If you're not going to hit a home run as a hire, you do not let go of a coach that can recruit at least. So why are you going to fire Gene Chizik to get somebody like a Dooley or somebody? You don't do that. You wait until the right time till you can get a commitment from a big-time coach. I mean, Chizik, you never know about him. He could do better next year. He could recruit well. The coaches could come together. But that's another thing we'll talk about, you know, throughout the winter and the springtime, is how Auburn recruits and who's their coach. But I'm trying to think if there was something else in the news, but I'll come back to it if I can think of it. BCS time, though, Trey. I know Jonathan's on the line. We're about to bring him on real quick. But the BCS came out today, and I'm very surprised at two things, in case people didn't hear earlier. If Florida State's ranked number 10 in the country, I think they should be up higher. And I think Kansas State should be lower. Oregon's loss last night was more forgivable, you know, playing a Stanford team. It was a good team. They lost in overtime. Kansas State gets blown out on the road against a 1-5 team in the conference. And if Florida State should be higher, I think Clemson should be higher. So what do you think about Clemson's position right now, Trey?
Well, you know, the one thing I will say about the BCS naysayers and, you know, and Jonathan, I think he wants to talk about the Florida State stuff. Here's the difference, Carmen. I'm still some of those teams that are ranked ahead of the Clemsons and the Florida States of the world. And, yeah, I believe that Kansas State should have fallen further. I think that's the legitimate BCS gripe that you can have. But here's the thing. Clemson plays South Carolina. And, you know, South Carolina is ranked 12th in the BCS. So Clemson has a shot. They're ranked 11th. So they have a shot to, you know, once again, you gain some BCS points that way. And if you're Florida State, you play number 4 Florida in the BCS standing. So if you want to jump in the polls, Tarvin, and you want to jump in the BCS and you want to jump in the computer rankings, if you're Florida State, go out and do your business in that game. And then they'll jump and then go out and do your business in the ACC championship game. And if you blow them out too, who knows what happens ahead of you. And that's what you got to do if you're Florida State. Stop worrying about who is ranked where, and start blowing out the teams in front of you, and I think a lot of people will start taking notice.
Okay, I have a scenario for you before I bring Jonathan on. If this happens, tell me who plays for the national championship, and we're going to do this tonight. Notre Dame loses to Southern California, Trey. So Southern Cal beats Notre Dame. Bama beats Georgia. And Florida beats Florida State. Who plays for the national championship? Does Oregon come above Florida to play Alabama? Or does Florida squeak in there and play Bama and we have an SEC championship?
Well, I think it'll be between Florida and Oregon because Oregon still has a two-ranked team possibly as well. And now that UCLA went out and did what they did, I mean, you could have, you know, and we're, I guess I'm assuming that Oregon gets into their championship game. I know that there's a chance that doesn't happen. But I think, in, you know, if we're talking about, you know, granted scenarios, I think that's the best shot for Oregon to get in there. Now, if they don't do that, Tarvin, then who knows? You're right. It could be a Florida.
So, I mean, you have two teams, Florida, Oregon, that did not play for their conference championship, did not win the conference. But don't you put Oregon in that game just because last year you had LSU-Bama and it was a blowout? I put Oregon in the game. That's who I put in that game with one loss just because of that reason.
Well, you know, it's going to come down to the computer rankings, and that's where, you know, all these games that are still have to be played are still going to matter so much because every win-loss matters in these computer rankings. So, you know, it's going to come down to that kind of stuff, Tarvin, and it could come down to fractions of percentage points when you come down to the BCS stuff. And so, I mean, you know, there's a lot to be said, and that's why we talked about this. And this time of the season, all these games, all, you know, all these little wins and losses all end up in the computer stats somewhere. And that's why you got to go in and beat the teams in front of you because you never know when Oregon and Kansas State are going to lose in a week.
Yep. And before we bring Jonathan on, I want to give the call-in number because I want to hear from all of you tonight, regardless of what team you pull for or what your opinion is, 646-716-5564. And also, just a reminder, we're going to do a show this Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night due to the holidays, and we are staff picks, so we need everybody to come out and support us. So Jonathan's going to be on, and I know what he wants to talk about. How's it going, Jonathan, and thanks for holding.
I'm looking at the new BCS standings, and I realize this amazing problem. Kenneth Massey, who runs one of the computer polls, has Florida State unranked. And then Jeff Segarian has us ranked number 22 behind teams like Michigan, Oklahoma State, Washington. I don't understand these computer rankings as well as I thought I would, considering that in the human polls, and the AP were 10, and the Harris were 6, and the USA were 5. Can anybody help shed some light as to why the computer rankings have us below a team like Washington?
Trey, take it from here, bud.
Well, I mean, I think that his question is valid. I mean, there are some of these polls that aren't used in the BCS, which I think are complete, just ridiculous. Sagarin, his ranking, he's actually quite renowned for his statistics, but this other dude you're talking about, I've heard his name a lot. In the past, he's had some crazy rankings as well with, you know, top number one teams not being in his poll at all. So, you know, the point is about this BCS stuff is when you use these random dudes who we don't know anything about, and don't really have any credibility when it comes down to why they're even having a poll that's considered a part of our national championship picture. I do think that's problematic. I mean, let the people who are experts make these selections or, you know, come down to something else. We're going to have a playoff, which is the only way, a real way to do this. But, yeah, I mean, it is a little fishy when you have some dude not ranking Florida State at all.
You're right. I've been questioning this to Segarian, whatever his name is, in the USA Today for years and years, and it just seems like Jonathan – he's terrible. But let's run over Florida State's schedule real quick. They played Murray State. Murray State's actually having a good year this year. Savannah State. And see, I think that's where you start getting into the problem. Now we have Wake Forest, and then you beat Clemson, which is a 10th-ranked team, and you beat South Florida, lost 17-16 to NC State, and then you beat Boston College, Miami, Duke, barely beat Virginia Tech, and then you handle Maryland. But that's the problem I think with the computers have is really who have you beaten besides Clemson?
Well,
Clemson's a good win.
The, the computers, they seem to forget that West Virginia State backed out of our game against, you know, we were going to play West Virginia. They backed out. We called Pittsburgh. We called Rutgers. We called Syracuse. We even made a phone call to Oregon and tried to schedule them for the Savannah State game. They all said no, so we had to go Division II to get an opponent to fill in.
Yep, and that's something that happened to us back in 2004. Bowling Green backed out at the last second and played Oklahoma, and we ended up playing the Citadel, which cost us a shot to get in. But looking at the eye test in Florida State, I do think they're a top-five team, honestly. And I know they choked on the road to NC State, but talent-wise, Florida State can compete with anyone in the country.
And then that's definitely fair.
So Trey's a big Seminole fan. And any way, Trey, that Florida State could make that title game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like I said, Florida State has a shot, but you got to take care of business, Tarvin. And I think this is where, you know, you and I have talked about my disdain for Jimbo Fisher. He spends so much time in the press talking about the polls and talking about how, you know, things are wrong. I just worry that he's not prepping for Florida the way he should because, you know, you stop worrying about – he should be telling his players, don't worry about the polls. Don't worry about it. Go out and dominate Florida. Beat them by 30 points, and I guarantee people will give you the respect that you deserve instead of whining about things. Like, I just don't think that's the way. I like the way Saban does that. I don't like the way Jimbo Fisher does the opposite of it, and I think that's part of the culture right now at Florida State and why we overlook opponents is we're too busy worrying about things instead of the game.
So, Jonathan, tell me about your thoughts on the BCS real quick before we move on. Who do you think is a surprise to you and why?
Well, I'm going to say Stanford, you know, the big thing that really shocked me was how Stanford jumped all the way up to 8th, and they dropped South Carolina all the way to 12th. I did not see a flip like that coming. If anything, I thought Florida State would drop because of Stanford, because they did the same thing with A&M. A&M skipped right over us by beating Alabama, but what's really getting at me, Florida's ranked number 2 in the computer rankings, yet number 4 overall in the BCS. I'm trying to figure out how Florida can run the computers the way they do, yet not be not be slated for the title game right now.
Well, I mean, you know, they beat 3 top 11 teams, but I think the reason the pollsters look at it like Florida, like I do, Florida's not really a great team. Their offense sputters; it's very inconsistent. They do have a very good defense, but. At the end of the day, I think people look at Florida and realize they're just not championship-caliber team right now.
Well, I'll predict it right now. Florida State holds Florida to under 10 points, wins by 20-plus.
Wow. That's a bold prediction.
Jeff Driscoll is not going to play due to his ankle injury. Jacoby Brissett's going to play, and if anybody remembers last year's game, when Florida rotated both of those guys in, it was not pretty. We intercepted 3 passes. I have a feeling this year between Tank and Werner, they're gonna get at least 3 sacks, and this one's gonna be ugly. It's gonna be over by halftime. If you're not a Florida State fan, you're not gonna want to watch this ball game.
I think you could be right. I mean, it's in Tallahassee. With if I'm Florida State, I have a chip on my shoulder now watching the new BCS rankings. Trey, are you thinking Florida can keep this game close at all?
Yeah, I mean, what indicates that Florida State has ready to blow up anybody? I mean, that's the point that I'm making, because Florida State hasn't gone out, other than the Clemson game where they played at a really high tempo, they've just looked like they're walking through every game, and they're not talented enough to win every single game, and obviously they didn't. So here's the thing, Carvin, and this is why I think it's so important. If Florida State did do that and you have Florida at number 2 in all the computers, Florida State will jump enormously in the computer rankings. And so that's why they have to go and play these games and play them and beat Florida handily, because they will jump in the computer rankings if that happens.
Yeah, well, Jonathan, man, thanks for the call and stay in the chat room with us. And if you press number 1 when we hang up here, and then if you want to come back on, press 1 again, okay? All right, thanks, bud. Well, you know, if Florida State wins this game, Trey, say if they beat Florida and they win the ACC championship, who will they be playing in the ACC championship, by the way?
Well, who knows, Carvin? Who knows? I mean, right now, that's the big question. Could be Duke.
And Miami could accept a bowl ban and not play in it. So, see, I think if Florida State could play Clemson, or, you know, if Florida State and Clemson could play each other in that championship game, then I think the ACC could shoot a team up and possibly backdoor their way in if, you know, chaos happened up top. But speaking of Clemson, I'm very impressed with what they're doing right now. Their defense is not playing well, but Taj Boyd with 8 touchdowns yesterday. And I just wish the ACC would make a rule if the other teams suck in the other side, let the top 2 teams play. Could you imagine Florida State and Clemson rematch right now? How much weight that would give Florida State if they beat Florida and then they come and beat Clemson in that game?
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, that's also the reason why I kind of, you know, you rooted for Virginia Tech to have a better season if it's Florida State. Because, I mean, you know, with the name variety they had, if they have a decent season and you beat them in the championship game, that means something. But, you know, God help you if you play Duke.
Duke. I mean, that would be crazy, wouldn't it, if Florida State plays Duke? And, you know, that's one of the games Florida State could choke in. I could see them beating Florida in Tallahassee and laying an egg against Duke. Could you see that?
Yeah, I mean, what makes you think it's not impossible in college football this year when the way Florida State plays against weaker opponents?
Yes, and I want to bring up something exactly like last week. I mean, I was called retarded, stupid, you know, for saying Kansas State could lose and putting them on upset alert. And college football is a sport where nobody knows anything, really. You know, I mean, for you to sit there and say with beyond a shadow of a doubt that Kansas State and Oregon was playing, I mean, that's just, I mean, it shows me you don't watch college football a lot to sit there and guarantee that. So, and remember I said, and you said, anything can happen in November. These teams with a different bullseye on them now, the number one ranking. So a lot of people out there are shocked right now that, oh, my God, Kansas State and Oregon lost. But really, are they? Should they be surprised, Trey?
No, I don't think you should be surprised. I mean, I think a lot of people thought Oregon was superior this year. But like, we talked about that defensive injury they had. And, you know, Stanford had a game plan to exploit it. So I know we'll break that game down a little bit further. But, you know, I mean, so not surprised to me, no.
All right, well, let's start with our games real quick. And remember, guys, call in anytime during the show for the rest of the show, 646-716-5564. Chat room, get lively, and let's have some fun. So Trey starts with number 10.
Well, our number 10 game is the Kansas State game. And my real question, Tarvin, is, now, I've heard this a lot, is that, you know, the Heisman Trophy is out of Klein's hands now because he lost. And I'm not sure I agree with that, Tarvin. So tell me about Kansas State's loss. We both think they should have fallen. We've already talked about that further. But is the Heisman Trophy now no longer his?
I think it's not his anymore. I think this time of year, you know, means a lot. That's where RG3 won the Heisman. That's where Mark Ingram won the Heisman. That's where Cam Newton won the Heisman. I mean, November is the month to shine. And when you play a team that's unranked and you throw 3 interceptions and you get your tail handed to you on national TV, that's exactly what it does. It rips the Heisman Trophy out of your hands. And the bigger question I want to ask is, who gets the Heisman Trophy now? Does Johnny Football get it? I saw him kick an extra point and missed it yesterday. So does he get the Heisman?
You know, I don't think so. I think as much as the hype talk you get around this time, you know, voters who actually vote on this thing do look at your entire picture of your body of work. And when you look at Manziel and those 2 losses, and you're going to see 0 touchdowns and 3 interceptions from him. And so, you know, I told you you have to kind of play well on your losses. So, yeah, he might be in New York, Tarvin, but he's certainly not the runaway candidate right now. I mean, I think it's wide open.
So what does the chat room think about the Heisman? Tell us, guys, did Optimus Klein lose the Heisman Trophy on national TV last night? And from my experience watching football in the years, I think he's done. Trey, you don't have to cry, man, just because I disagree with you. I mean, I just want to know what people think out there. Does he lose? I mean, Chris Melly says he's out. Joshua Shaw says the defensive player from Notre Dame should get it. But tell me the candidates right now. You have Optimus Klein, Johnny Football, and who else do you like?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question is who's the frontrunner, Tarvin? I mean, I don't think anybody really knows at this point, and so each week is going to matter. I mean, you know, if Klein, what if Klein goes out and has 6 touchdowns next week against Texas? I mean, I don't think he's out. Well, you know, Manziel, I don't think is a frontrunner. I think there's just a, right now, it's kind of like the national championship picture, you know, and there's a lot left to be said about it.
Well, I'm going to throw a name out there, and I want you to tell me, and I want people in the chat room to tell me, Taj Boyd. So, Trey, what do you think? I think he could be one of those guys. I mean, he's putting up video game numbers this year, and he's looked very good. So what do you think about him sneaking in there?
Well, the problem with Taj Boyd is they're not going to play in the championship game, which would give him a lot of large publicity. And I think if he went out and put up a huge game against South Carolina, he might be in the conversation, Tarvin, for sure.
Well, Jonathan and Nicholas made a good point in the chat room. If Klein puts up 7 touchdowns on A&M, he'll win. Texas seems like, you know, like last year with Baylor, RG3, lift him up late in the year. Klein, though, I mean, he was head and shoulders above everyone in the race until yesterday. So, Trey, I honestly can't say he won't win it, but to me, I think he takes a huge step back just because on national TV, he choked. I mean, his team had a chance to play for a national championship. All he had to do was beat Baylor in Texas. And he choked. So I think a lot of voters are looking for Johnny Manziel now because of the story. Have you noticed everyone's talking about this kid, especially since he beat Alabama? I mean, I could just easily see him getting a Heisman and then making a BCS game somewhere like the Fiesta Bowl and just talking about him for a month straight.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, nothing's impossible in this point in college football. Somebody else in the chat room mentioned Lee, he's a good candidate as well. He's putting up big numbers, Marquise Lee, so he's a good choice. I think he'll be there in New York as well.
And Chris Melly, he likes Trey Mason, the Auburn running back for Heisman. Chris, that's a great choice, buddy. That's a good thought. So, Trey, what do you think about Trey Mason for Heisman?
Where is he playing again?
He plays for the I'm sorry. Chris said Lacey said that. Okay, now it makes sense. He plays at Auburn. So tell me about Braxton Miller real quick before we break this game down. Everybody's talking about should he be able to win the Heisman being on probation.
Well, yeah, absolutely. There's absolutely no reason to say he shouldn't. I mean, just because his team's on probation. I mean, Braxton Miller wasn't Braxton Miller getting the team on probation.
But is Braxton Miller that good or is the Big Ten that bad? And I think we've had that discussion 55 times this year. The Braxton Miller, those numbers he puts up, but they're not that great, are they? Braxton Miller's numbers, to me, aren't Heisman material.
Well, you bring up a good point. The thing about Braxton Miller and Ohio State is they don't have a signature win against any opponent outside of the Big Ten. So, you know, what are you going to hang your hat on to vote on Braxton Miller? If you vote on for Braxton Miller, I think it's a vote against everyone else because you have no idea who should win it. So, I mean, it's almost like a split vote. If everybody else splits, maybe he wins. But you have like 3 guys getting first place votes. I mean, so maybe that's a situation.
Well,
but I just don't see Braxton Miller as a Heisman Trophy candidate because the competition he's been playing.
Well, Lacey Key wanted me to tell you hi, Trey. So, Lacey, you're on the road now listening. So I thought you said Trey Mason for Heisman. So Lacey's cussing at me in the chat room right now through Chris Smelly, which that's a bad thing, man. I'm sorry, Lacey. I didn't mean to offend you. I apologize. So that game last night, Trey, was it ever any moment in the game you thought Kansas State was going to win that game?
Well, I thought when they got the interception, you know, on the 1 yard line, that might be the momentum they need to get back in the game. But I mean, Baylor just quickly, you know, extinguished that. I mean, Nick Florence for Baylor is the real deal. I mean, that kid might be a Heisman Trophy candidate next year. So. You know, Baylor just did not, they didn't seem to at all impacted by any of Kansas State's attempted momentum in the game. They seemed razor focused. Like, they actually thought they were going to win the game the entire time.
Well, I mean, there's a kid that had a coming out party last night that was a top 3 running back in the same class that Michael Dyer, that went to Auburn, and Marcus Lattimore, Lachey Seastrunk, he went to Oregon. There were some questions about his recruiting, and the NCAA investigated it. He transferred to Baylor, set out a year. His run, Trey, do you think that broke the back of Kansas State, that 80-plus-yard run?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's a stage to get your name. I mean, you're playing the number 1 team in the country, and you bust an 80-yard-plus touchdown run in your home stadium. So, Baylor, I mean, I just don't see Baylor, how they're 1-5 in their conference until then. I mean, they're a decent team, and with a number two offense in the country, I'm surprised they haven't won more games. I mean, the West Virginia game they played showed me why they're not as great, their defense. But, guys, I mean, the defense played good last night.
Yeah, it showed improvement.
So, Baylor, congratulations for screwing up the entire BCS process and making a lot of SEC people happy right now. So, I picked Baylor Friday night. And, Sonia, you're in the chat room. You heard me pick Baylor to win this game, even though Wednesday night I didn't. So, take us on to number nine, Trey.
Well, number nine was our WAC special, Tarvin, and actually turned out to be a pretty incredible game, an overtime win. For the Utah State Aggies over La Tech. Did you get to catch? What do you think about this exciting WAC game?
Well, it was WAC because I saw the score, and I think Utah State was up like four touchdowns, and the next thing I know, it's an overtime. So I don't know what happened in that time, but I have a question. I picked Utah State to win, but how was Utah State favored 3 points on the road against Louisiana Tech, a team that's ranked like 20th, and just a better team? How was Utah State favored on the road in that game, Trey?
Maybe they knew something that we didn't, Tarvin, because you and I did not pick that one.
Oh, I did. I picked Utah State.
Did you? Okay, well, I didn't pick it.
Yep, I did. But, I mean, that's why I picked it. I picked that because, you know, of the spread in a way. I looked at it, and I'm like, they know something I don't know. I don't know. Tino's calling me an undercover Bama fan. What do you think, Trey?
Here's the deal, Tino. I think Tarvin was pretty upset about these losses, to be honest with you, because he knows Alabama's going to be in the championship game. So I don't think that's undercover Bama at all.
Tino's upset because I'm not picking Auburn to beat Alabama this week, and he is. So I'm probably the biggest Auburn fan out there. So. And you probably know that, Trey, from the years and years you've known me. I am delusional in ways when it comes to Auburn football. So I'm trying to get better at that. I'm trying to improve myself. But, no, Tino, I'm an Auburn fan all the way, bud. I'm a realist. That's a difference.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Tino. I've known Tarvin for 12 years now, and every single year before the season started, before we had this show, I swear, every day in August, Tarvin would call me and be like, this is the Auburn's year. I'm telling you, I've seen something special about this team, and they're going to win the national championship. So I'm just saying, he's had 12 years to predict the national championship in Auburn Tigers, and he finally got one a couple years ago. So he's been pretty good. He's one for 12 in his Auburn predictions for national championships since I've known him.
Well, you know, Lou Holtz does the same thing. But, you know, I had Auburn winning 10 games this year, and I was wrong. And when I saw on the field what I saw, it changes my impression of what kind of team they are. I love them. I'll always support these guys, and I'll pull harder than anyone. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is what it is. So Trey, why did you pick Louisiana Tech in this game?
I mean, you got to think that home field and, you know, the fact that they had, you know, pollsters believing in them meant something. I mean, the Aggies came in, obviously, sort of like a hornet's nest all riled up. So, I mean, but, you know, home field usually means something, but this is the WAC, and so who knows.
Yeah, exactly. So that was an exciting game, probably one of the afternoon games, most exciting ones. So take us to number eight.
Well, speaking of games that were kind of crazy, Oklahoma, West Virginia, 50-49. Are you surprised that Oklahoma didn't play the better defense in this game?
I mean, I think Notre Dame is in the top 18 or so in defense. And, yeah, it surprised me a little bit that they gave up that kind of points and yardage. But it didn't surprise me that West Virginia almost won the game. So I thought West Virginia would play better defense last night being at home. And Oklahoma, that win, you know, Notre Dame has over them, does that impress you now or does it not?
Well, I think to be honest, with Notre Dame's schedule, I think beating Oklahoma does matter to me. I mean, Oklahoma is a pretty solid team. You know, they won the game. I mean, the fact is they didn't lose this game. You know, had they lost it, of course, you knock it a little bit. But, you know, the fact that Notre Dame beat them and Stanford means more and more every week, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame, I mean, undefeated, and I'm sure Quinn will call in later since he knows we'll be talking about his Irish. So anything that surprised you about that game, though? I mean, Oklahoma won. They were favored by 11 points. So, I mean, it wasn't a surprise they won. I mean, I just don't know what happened to West Virginia, man. That's my question, and I keep trying to find out what happened to this team.
Yeah, I mean, they're almost at a point where they're, you know, talking about cleaning house with their coaches. I mean, this was a team that had so much aspirations, and they haven't won a game since they were ranked, what, number two? They're like 0-6, Carvin. So, I mean, you know, now comes the scramble time. Is, you know, is this team going to make a bowl game? And, you know, this isn't guaranteed. I mean, this is not guaranteed. I know they don't have the hardest schedule the rest of the way here, but, I mean, they're not guaranteed at 5-5. To make a bowl the way they're playing.
Yeah, that will get you fired because West Virginia had high hopes this year, and we talked about it before, and we're not going to beat a dead horse. But, I mean, these guys have to learn to play defense. You need to go out and be able to play your offense enough to control the clock to where you don't score in 5 seconds sometimes, and you get a defense out there that can play football. So, West Virginia has the wrong plan. I know it's the Big 12. They don't like playing defense in the Big 12, but they're going to have to start playing defense in order to win football games. They have the offense, but can they put together a recruiting class with Dana Holverson as the coach to come and make him competitive in the Big 12? See, I don't know if they can right now with him as the coach, and it shows you going from the Big East to the Big 12 is a huge difference when you're playing teams week in and week out that are – ranked or better. Look at Baylor last night. So every week you're playing someone that can defeat you, so you have to bring your A game every week, and that's West Virginia's problem. I think they need a coach with that mindset that can come in like a Gary Patterson, so to speak. You know, put him in that position. I think he would do a good job, but he wouldn't leave, you know, TCU for West Virginia. I'm not saying that, but they need somebody with that mindset.
Yeah, so, Tarvin, I mean, they play at Iowa State this week, and then Kansas, their final week. I mean, they win those games.
Who do they play again?
At Iowa State and then Kansas.
Well, I think they beat Kansas, but as far as Iowa State, I don't know. I think Iowa State's a tough team at home. So their record right now is what, 5-5?
5-5.
I think they make the bowls just because they play Kansas. You know, Kansas can score, too, especially on a West Virginia defense. So if they overlook any of those teams, they're not going to be going to a bowl probably. So I think they'll get there, though.
Yeah, I think so probably. I think they'll beat Kansas, and I think they might lose to Iowa State, but it's going to be a close game. But I'll move us on, Tarvin. That's the next game is the Notre Dame game, and this game was not in doubt for much of for maybe the few seconds after the kickoff. Other than that, Notre Dame controlled this game.
Yeah, and before we go, chat room says, Justin Hawk says 6-6 doesn't mean you make a bowl, but I think this year it does mean it because there's a lot of teams that aren't bowl eligible this year. So 6-6 will get you a bowl win this year, a bowl game, Justin. So that's a good point, though. So Notre Dame, Trey, I mean, left no doubt against the pissy Wake Forest Demon Deacons.
Wake Forest came in this game. They played like a team who was 5-5, and Notre Dame played like a team who was 10-0. I mean, Notre Dame, it just looks like they're playing like they're close, Carvin. So we'll see how they play now that they have the number one, you know, logo on their back and with USC coming in.
Well, but to give you a preview of next week, I mean, you know, they play Southern Cal on the road. So with Matt Barkley, if he does not play, Trey, what do you think?
I got to be honest, I have no idea who USC has as a backup quarterback. I know that their recruiting classes tend to lead me to the point that he's probably some five-star athlete. So, I don't know that Barkley is the only thing they have going, but the problem with USC is much, much deeper than Barkley. I think offensively they're okay, and the problem is are they going to be able to hold Notre Dame down? Notre Dame's defense is certainly going to give them fits on offense. So are they going to be able to hold Notre Dame from scoring to even be in the game?
Well, guess who, Trey? Guess who's on the line with us?
It's got to be old Quinn.
Quinn, what's
yeah.
up, man? Congratulations.
Thanks. I just heard tonight, just a few minutes ago, Barkley is out. Lane Kiffin said Barkley is out for the game.
Well, first of all, do you believe Lane Kiffin when he opens his mouth about anything?
I believe him for this.
He's a liar, a snake, a cheat. So I could see him, Trey, saying Matt Barkley's out, and he suits up on the second play of the game, comes in and throws all over the Irish.
I don't know. Even if he does play, I don't think he'll be the same because, like, he separated his shoulder. So, I mean, that would be a hard thing to overcome in a week.
Yeah, and also
and he was in a sling after the game too, is what I heard. So
it's hard to prepare for a quarterback that you have no idea who they are. So if I'm guessing right, Southern Cal has a good backup quarterback that's capable of coming in and maybe beating Notre Dame, and Notre Dame has a good defense, but how about their passing defense, Quinn?
Well, I think Bob Diaco, I think he's gonna he prepared for Oklahoma State well. I think he's gonna prepare for USC well too. I think he's gonna play like they have been, is where he's gonna play a zone where he's gonna play like a cover too, where he won't let the big play happen, and he'll let USC go on long drives. And then on offense, I think Notre Dame's going to try and pound the ball, because USC really, to me, doesn't have that good of a defense. And I think the line could come to Notre Dame's advantage offensively. I think the ground and pound could wear out USC later in the game, kind of like what happened to Oklahoma, but it's a rival game, so really anything could happen. I just hope Notre Dame goes in there and plays well, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, Southern Cal, Trey, with the receivers they have, how big of a problem is this going to be for the Notre Dame secondary with these NFL receivers they have?
Well, I think it's going to give them a little bit of a problem. Max Wittick, according to Jonathan Miklos in our chat room, is going to be the true freshman starter. And that might bother you, except for if you look at what some true freshman backups who've been starting and around college football have done this year, guess what? That's kind of impressive. I mean, look what Stanford's quarterback did against, you know, Oregon. So, you know, just because this kid's a true freshman, he may be too young to care about Notre Dame and their ranking. And, again, not having tape on a guy in the college, you know, jersey actually matters. Notre Dame's not going to be able to break this guy down, so – they're going to be looking at high school tape this week, and that's not always the best indicator of how you're going to play in college.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to have their safeties play deep, and they're going to have their cornerbacks kind of lay off of Woods and Lee, so they're not giving up big explosive plays. That's how I think they're going to do it, is they're going to make them get – they're not going to let them get the big plays, and they're going to make them get 5 to 10 yard gains instead of a 50 yard pass for like a TD.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be a good game. I don't know the point spread yet. I don't think they have it since Barkley's not going to play yet. But Quinn, if Notre Dame makes the championship game, are you going to be able to attend?
No, I asked my parents if I could, but since we don't have really any connections to Notre Dame, my dad's like, well, the tickets are way too much, so I wouldn't be able to go, unless my grandpa somehow this weekend, since he's coming down, says, yeah, I'd buy tickets for it, but besides that, no, because the ticket prices would be a lot of money.
Well, I have an idea, Trey, and maybe we can get people in the chat room up. We can get a fundraiser for Quinn to attend the national title game. What do you think, Trey?
I think after you and I get our press badges, I'll work on that.
Well, Quinn, I went to the Auburn-Oregon game, and the ticket cost me $1,100 just for the ticket.
Well, I was at that game too, but my grandpa, since he's an alumni, and he has connections. He got connections, and we got tickets for like 300. We got tickets for like $300 a piece.
That's cool. That's cool. So it didn't
cost much.
Yeah, well, Quinn, we're going to be back on Tuesday night instead of Wednesday, so call in while we preview that Notre Dame Southern Cal game, and congratulations on your number one ranking for now. So, Trey, Notre Dame next week when we come in Sunday night after the holiday, are they going to be the number one team?
I don't know, Charvin. I don't know. We'll have to talk about that on Tuesday. I think I'm not ready to make my predictions. I'm going to find out a little bit more about the UNC quarterback, actually, on Monday. So we'll see, Charvin. Right now, I'm having a tough time picking against him.
Honestly, I'm not having trouble right now with him. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on this quarterback. I remember a few years ago, Matt Leinart came out of nowhere. Nobody knew Matt Leinart, who he was. They lost Carson Palmer. And the guy was a Heisman Trophy winner. But Southern, if this was a team like just an SEC team in general, I would be worried. But this is Southern California, where they're known for quarterbacks, and they have them everywhere. So all you have to do is get a guy to hand the ball off and just throw it high enough for these receivers to jump up and get it. It's not like he has to go out and pick apart a team. I think sometimes Matt Barkley hurts Southern Cal, some of the throws he tries to make, because he realizes he's a great quarterback, and sometimes he forces the ball too much, and it puts his team in bad predicament. So I'm interested to see what this quarterback looks like.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see with Matt Barkley too. I mean, how much this year hurts his draft stock as well. I think actually he's killing himself in the draft, maybe almost to the Jake Locker type of levels. But we'll see. So we'll see if Matt Barkley's stock continues to drop.
Yeah, you know, that payment Lane Kiffin made him to stay around another year didn't pay off. So Matt Barkley, I don't know, Trey, if he'll ever be a great NFL quarterback or not, honestly. I really don't see that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, take us on to the next one.
Well, our Big East special, Tarvin, the 10-3 Rutgers game.
Wow. Yeah, I picked Cincinnati in this game. And I'm very surprised they only put up 3 points at home against Rutgers. So is Rutgers that good, or is Cincinnati just that bad? I think we might have lost Patterson. So Patterson just disconnected. He'll call back in. But I didn't get to watch this game. It was on ESPN3. So I did watch the computer to see. But it's like Rutgers dominated this game from start to finish, and Cincinnati, Trey, was really never in this game. Did you get a chance to watch it where you were? It wasn't on TV here.
No, I didn't get a chance to watch it. It was an SEC-type score, though. I mean, 10-3. It doesn't seem like the kind of game that would really keep your attention.
Let me, Trey, keep it going right now, please. And I'm going to hang up and call right back in, okay?
All right. So guys, looking in the chat room, and if you guys have any comments about our games, especially, I see Justin Ox said Rutgers is actually an okay team. Yeah, I mean, Rutgers is a pretty good football team for a Big East team, and that's kind of the problem with Rutgers is you don't really know how they're going to play against anyone else. I mean, Cincinnati was at home, played pretty well, but 10-3 in a game that really wasn't much of a game. Rutgers scored in the first half and went up 7-0, and then they dropped field goals on each other in the fourth quarter to sort of tie up in the fourth. But so Rutgers, the ranked team in the game wins. We'll move on. I don't want to spend too much time on the Big East.
I'm back.
I'll move us on, Tarvin, to the Minnesota at Nebraska game.
Wow, that game ended and was played just like Jason Minson said. It was a blowout. And did it look like to you Nebraska was running up the score? When I talked to Jason, he thought that Nebraska intentionally ran up the score. And the funny thing is they dropped in the polls because of it.
Well, I don't know if they were trying to run up the score. I mean, Nebraska didn't score in the fourth quarter.
Well, they were playing with their starters all the way through the third in the game like that. But, Trey, I'm gonna bring Jason on the line real quick. Let's see, Jason, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, not much, not much. Yeah, you know, I called it. I mean, I called it at the beginning of the year. We were going to get our ass kicked. So, no, it was a game I expected. You know, I just, because I watch my Gopher games, you know, I've seen three games where it was questionable to me. You know, watching that game yesterday, they pretty much shut out Minnesota in that first half. Minnesota didn't even convert a third down. So, I mean, they pretty much had it in hand at halftime. My whole thing is, when you're up, you know, like 30 to nothing, I can understand putting your starters in for probably the first or second series. But after that, you know, I think, you know, I know that Saban does and some other coaches, Rick, they'll put their starters on the bench after that. And I've seen three games this year where they played the entire third quarter when it was painfully obvious that Minnesota was not in the game. So, you know, Wisconsin did it. Nebraska just did. Michigan did it again. So I don't know if it's like a Big Ten thing, but, you know, it just, for me, it's a lack of class. I mean, it's, you have a team beat down, you know, it's pretty much over.
Well, Jason, I guess here's my question to you. I mean, I don't know that running up the score can really happen in the third quarter when, I mean, there's been games, I can think of games when Florida State's involved where, you know, Florida State came back in the fourth quarter down 31 to nothing and won the game. So, to me, I look at, you know, you're still going after it in the third quarter. I think in the fourth quarter you may start to pull up, but, I mean, obviously 30 points is different than 50.
Yeah, but Trey, I mean, come on, you're talking, it's like I told Scott Malone, it's like you're talking Minnesota, were you actually worried we were going to come back and win? I mean, historically, don't get me wrong, these coaches know who they're playing. I mean, they're dumb if they're not studying their opponent, and Minnesota is you know, it is what it is. I mean, we're good enough to beat, you know, soft OCC schools and the bottom of the Big Ten, but we're not in that level, per se. So everyone knows who they're playing when they're playing Minnesota. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Well, Jason, Tina wants me to ask you about the wide receiver who ripped the coach and then quit.
It has pretty much, in my mind, it's probably because of lack of playing time. I don't know. I haven't read up on it yet, but probably, you know, it's probably just that.
Well, you know, Jason, I mean, obviously, you know, you're looking at your Gophers and what they did this year and what they're doing. I mean, how do you think they're going to finish the season?
Oh, I think I have hopes, you know, that we'll pull it out next week against Michigan State. I mean, it's a very winnable game for us, you know, and to have seven wins, that's a successful season. So we are definitely better than we were last year, so we pretty much doubled our wins, so I'm happy. And if we win Saturday, we'll play an SEC team in a bowl game. If we lose Saturday, we'll probably play a Big 12 team.
So I'm hoping you're saying you want to lose, right?
No, I actually want to play an SEC because I'm just saying it's good for our team to play against that to see, you know. I have a feeling we're going to lose that bowl game regardless, so I'd rather lose it against an SEC team and learn something. You know what I'm saying?
Jason, Michigan State is a 7.5-point favorite on the road at Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, I'd take that bet.
Well, that's going to be a big game for you, and we'll break this game down for sure Tuesday night. Jason, stay right there a minute. Joshua Shaw's on the line. He's a big Nebraska man. He wants to come in and say a few words.
Yeah, no problem.
Let me get him on right here with you. What's up, Joshua?
Not much. I didn't really get a chance to catch much football yesterday, but from what the stats I read, I agree with what Jason said. And especially, if Minnesota only got one first down the whole game, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, Pelini should have had his starters out. There's a lot of young guys for the Huskers that don't have a lot of experience. And the one thing I did like about yesterday, though, is They honored Tom Osborne, legendary head coach. He's the athletic director now. He's retiring. He led the team out of the tunnel. That was nice to see. But I do think it was a little low on the class scale for Bo Pelini to run up the score. I mean, it was like 20-something to nothing at halftime, and they had it in control.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I mean, but it's hard, too, in a way. It's hard to let up off the gas because as soon as Bo Pelini, Jason, maybe just say he did let off the gas a little bit and Minnesota got hot, I mean, they are a 6-win team right now. What if they have strung together 3 or 4 touchdowns real quick?
Tired.
And they lost, though.
Irvin.
Yeah.
Come on, we're talking Minnesota here. I mean, be real. I mean, I wasn't the only one that's right, you know. But again, too, I actually want to congratulate too Tom Osborne because man, what a hell of a coach. That was a time when he was coaching, and that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, hats off to Mr. Osborne.
Yep. Well, Jason, join us back Tuesday night. And Sonya, I'm sure, is going to want to come on and talk some Bama here in just a few minutes. But join us Tuesday night, and we'll talk about those Gophers.
No problem.
All right. Take care, buddy. Thanks, Josh, for the call as well. Trey, take us on, buddy. Take us on.
Well, let's stay in the Big Ten, Tarvin. Let's talk about this Ohio State team. I mean, they went to overtime against Wisconsin, but, they pulled it out. And, you know, how sad, if you're an Ohio State fan, are you right now to know that, you know, had you been able to be ranked this year, you'd be looking at a BCS championship game against Notre Dame right now. So, Ohio State, they won again, Tarvin, but it's got to be a bittersweet victory.
But I honestly, Trey, I don't think Ohio State, even if they weren't on probation, would be that high as people think in the BCS because look at their schedule. Look at their wins, the way they've won some games. Do you honestly think Ohio State would be number 2 right now?
Yeah, I do. I think they were number 4 last week in the projected BCS. It's tough because some of the computers don't rank them because they are on probation, so it's impossible to know those type of things. But obviously, they were in the top 5 on some projections last week in the BCS.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me, honestly, to sit here and say they would be number 2, Trey, because let me go to their schedule real quick. Where Notre Dame played Stanford and Oklahoma in their Big Ten schedule, they played Miami of Ohio, Central Florida, California, UAB. Those teams are all at home. They beat UAB by 14. They were actually very close there at the end and scored. They beat Cal by 7. And then they beat Michigan State by 1. They blew out Nebraska. I'll give them that one. They beat Indiana by 3 points. They lucked up and came back a miracle win in overtime against Purdue. They beat Penn State. They beat Illinois. And they win in overtime against Wisconsin. What about that schedule tells you they're the number 2 team in the country if they weren't on probation?
Well, I mean, it's more about two factors. One, they're a big-time conference team. And they're undefeated. I mean, they're going to get certain voters to vote that way for that reason alone. Their schedule is super weak this year. I mean, I think that's obviously why they're undefeated is they played a terrible, terrible schedule. I think this team is very soft, and I think if they were going to go to a bowl, and let's say they were going to go to a bowl and they did get left out, they probably would lose to a very good football team. But the point is, you know, you look at some of the numbers and some of the projections, and they have them right up there, Tarvin.
Well, I'm going to go through 5 teams in the top. Out of the top 5 teams in the country, we got Notre Dame, Bama, Florida, Oregon, Kansas State, some of those, Georgia. How many of those does Ohio State really win?
Well, I mean, I tough to say, Tarvin, and not many of them. I don't think many of them. I think they're a team that with Braxton Miller, anything can happen because Braxton Miller is that kind of player. But, I mean, this team is not going to do very well against that kind of competition. I think they would lose most of those games.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State maybe could beat Notre Dame, but I don't know. I mean, Notre Dame surprises every week. There's no way they would beat Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, even I'd say Kansas State and LSU. So I think Ohio State would be left out. And so we're going to take a call real quick from the 256 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? 256. You're on. All right. Not picking up. So, Trey, I just can't give them a lot of credit, and I know a lot of people are out there talking about Ohio State, if, just like Jason Minson says, if means nothing. What if means nothing. So, not a big Ohio State supporter this year, so they're on probation, they cheated, they got caught. So, let's move on.
Yeah, and I will say this, though. I mean, yeah, you got to think this. How good are you? I mean, I know Urban Meyer has a lot of haters. I am certainly one of them, Harvin, but the job he's done at Ohio State, even though they played a terrible schedule, he has turned them around into, again, a team that's going to get great recruiting this year and is going to start off next year very highly ranked for a season. So, Urban Meyer has done a very good job this year. And so Ohio State, if you're an Ohio State fan, and I got a couple of good buddies who are, very excited about what he's doing up there, for however long he does it. So we'll move on after that one, Carmen, to our next game.
Okay.
I was reading the message board there. Texas Tech, yeah. Oklahoma State, Tarvin. You and I picked this. Oklahoma State just took Texas Tech to the woodshed.
Well, surprise, surprise. I mean, Tommy Tuberville again slapping his coach and getting slapped himself against Oklahoma State. And that's the problem with him, guys. And a lot of people were bragging on Tommy Tuberville early in the year that he's the best coach in the nation almost. But, I mean, again, he loses games. And when he loses them big. And it's the teams that actually he should maybe play closer beat. So I wasn't surprised at all that Oklahoma State took these guys behind the woodshed. My question to everybody in the chat room right now, and you, Trey, does Tubby keep his job after all of this?
Yeah. I mean, I respect his tack. I mean, I think so. I mean, they're still a program that, is going to go to a bowl game. The question for Texas Tech and Tuberville always is how do you finish the season? So we'll have to see how well he finishes the season and then how well he recruits. But I don't think he's given the job next year. I think the program at Texas Tech are still considering whether they want to bring him back because they do expect this team to be the kind of team that can make a BCS game.
Well, I'm not talking really as much about the record as I am, the hitting the coach, getting on national TV and lying about it. But I just wonder if this is a good opportunity for Texas Tech maybe to show this guy the door. Because, honestly, what has he done this year? I mean, to me, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and this would be another big-time program that if there's a coaching change that has a vacancy. It just seems like this year could line up for a number of big-time programs and big-time conferences to have a number of vacancies. And we're not talking about the lower tier. I mean, Texas Tech is a team that's had success in the Big 12 recently. So, if Tuberville does go, and you're talking about another team, that would be attractive to a lot of coaches.
Yeah, but I'm going to try this 256 area code one more time. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. What's up, bud? Chris, man, where are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What's going on,
okay,
man?
Okay. Not much. I didn't hit one. I don't know why you keep on bringing me in for. But
you did. You are lit up as you hit number one, so I can take you off the queue right now. So he must have accidentally hit number one. All right, Trey. Well, take us on, man. Tommy Tuberville chokes. Everybody predicted that game, so let's move on.
Well, this is the USC-UCLA game, and you and I picked USC, Tarvin, so I got to tell you, I'm impressed with UCLA, how well, I mean, has the Battle of Los Angeles, not only is in, the game, but, I mean, is UCLA now going to change the recruiting game as well and start shifting this toward UCLA? I mean, is this that kind of win for UCLA?
honestly, Trey, I'm very surprised at how well they played on Saturday. I had Southern Cal to win this game pretty big, and I thought it was just because of their athletes. But to me, UCLA was by far the most physical team on both sides of the ball, and that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Mora clearly is an attractive coach for some folks. I mean, I think some of the terms that he wouldn't want to play for Mora. But, you know, this is a guy who runs, you know, he's been in the NFL. He's got cred to him. You know, you got USC with Lane Kiffin, who I think is, you know, less of a coach who you want to play for and less credibility. I mean, if you don't want a coach who's been there and done that in the NFL, and then you have Lane Kiffin, I mean, I don't know. I was very impressed with UCLA in this game. They played more physical than I think USC was ready for. And that scares me against Notre Dame because Notre Dame plays smash mouth football. So, you know, I don't know, Lane Kiffin and USC, I'm not real impressed with this season for them. And you got to wonder if USC has him on a super tight leash.
Well, do you remember when we talked about the first of the year, they were number one and we laughed about it? I mean, it was like, how are they number one? And the main reason that I talked about was Lane Kiffin, you know, the coach of Southern Cal. What has he done? But it's interesting. Yesterday after the game, he came out immediately after the game and said he would be back next year. How does he know he'll be back next year, Trey?
Well, maybe he's given his own vote of confidence.
But Mora, I mean, this guy is a great coach. He coached for the Falcons, and everybody in the chat room is giving him some love. I mean, Brian Burgess said he's the best coach in L.A., and by far he is. Lane Kiffin can't hold a candle to him. And, Trey, the point you brought up was perfect about does this change recruiting. I think it does. I mean, who wouldn't want to play for this guy?
Well, I mean, both schools, I mean, you're talking about one of the things that drawing a lot of athletes and a lot of people is, you know, where's your school located? You know, what's the atmosphere like? And both of these schools have great atmosphere. So they're kind of a wash. I think USC's got a little bit of an edge there. But now you have Jim Mora there, a guy who knows how to coach defensively football, who can draw in these recruits, talk about the NFL game, talk about the NFL speed. I mean, this guy has been there and done it. And then Lane Kiffin, I don't know if he has that NFL-type credibility to him. So we'll have to see if this sort of changes some of the recruiting momentum that USC has, because USC is still recruiting very well this year. So we'll have to see, Tarvin. I'm very, very interested to see how USC finishes this year and then how recruiting goes for Lane Kiffin and USC.
Exactly. And Tino's in the chat room. Tino, call in, man, if you get a chance to. I'd like to hear Tino bust you up tonight, Trey.
I think Tino's going after you tonight, man. Tino's on my side tonight. Me and Tino are one.
No. Tino is an Auburn man. Tino asked me if I'd like to go to the Auburn-Alabama game with him. So I think Tino's on my side. So I want to see him rip into you.
The game, Tarvin. He doesn't want you in the state.
I think Sonya's going to drive into the game now. So, yeah, I miss Otino. So, Tino, if you get a chance, call in, buddy. Bring some life up in here. But, I mean, I'm very impressed with UCLA. So, this sets up a big game next week with Stanford. You know, so that Stanford is a one-point favorite, you know, at the Rose Bowl, Trey. Well, I mean, I honestly think UCLA can beat these guys.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely they can. I mean, you know, again, Stanford is playing with a freshman quarterback, and freshman quarterbacks are going to have ups and downs. So, and the fact that Stanford just came off, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I know UCLA-UCSD is a big game. I know it's a rivalry game. But the feeling that Stanford has of taking down Oregon, the number two team in the country, those guys probably still haven't stopped partying yet. So, I mean, you're talking about prepping and that kind of stuff. UCLA absolutely has a shot in this game.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that they're really an underdog. But, Trey, guess who just called in? Mr. Tino. Get him, Tino.
War Eagle, baby.
What's going on, guys?
Y'all made me call in earlier than what I wanted to tonight, man. I was waiting on the one person y'all, you know, she calls in all the time, and you say, so who do you picking today? Well, guys, you know, let me guess. Let me sit back and let me think. Bama. Bama. Man, so, you know, I wanted Sonya to call in first, but I waited. You know, y'all wanted me, so I called in, man. You know, who you pick this week? Bama. You know who I pick, guys. You know, what's going on, man? Y'all doing all right?
Doing great, man. It's Thanksgiving week coming up, and I hear you're going to the Big Iron Bowl this weekend.
Yeah. I, you know, it's going to be a lovely game, man. You know, I tried to see if you wanted to come by, but, you know, I understand you was nervous to be around me because you thought I was going to, you know, assassinate your character or something because I want to find out if you're really a Bammer or not, you know. But I'm not going to bother you like that. You could have went with me. I wasn't going to harass you or, you know, search back into your family tree and see where you originated from if you really are a Bammer or not. You know, I wasn't even going to do that. But, you know, I understand you didn't want to go with me. You was intimidated of me, but it's fine.
So, you know, the funny thing is about my family, I'm the youngest of seven, and me and my sister, younger sister, are the only two Auburn fans in my family. So the rest of the family are Bammers, so a lot of them are happy, but, yeah, I couldn't say I could ever be a Bammer, Trey. Do you?
Well, I mean,
be honest, Trey.
Could I be an Alabama fan? I think if you go back in the history of time and maybe change my school of undergrad where I go, and maybe I go to Tuscaloosa instead of going where I went, and maybe I become an Alabama fan. But where I am now, I'm not changing allegiances anytime soon.
But Trey, we're talking about Brian. Now we know you change allegiance like every other week. You know, one week you're saying, "Oh, Spartans, go check out Campus Alpha Fly Kappa Alpha or something." You say, "Oh yeah, I know what that." You know, you're Michigan State, you're Michigan. You've been Notre Dame a couple times. I don't know who you cheer for anymore, Trey. I used to think it was FSU, but now it's a variety of teams. You know, you're like the chips that you buy at the grocery store, the variety pack. You know, you got so many different teams in there. It's just who you're cheering for that week. But I still love you, though. You're still my boy. But we're in reference to Tarvin right now. Do you really think that he's a Bammer or could be a Bammer? And be honest with me.
Tarvin could switch allegiances at any point. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's right.
Watch your back, you know. Watch your back.
Yeah, it's that's funny thing is Tino. This season has been probably the most difficult that I've ever been through. But this radio show makes it a little better, being able to talk to all you guys every week. But man, this is tough. And if I wasn't going home for Thanksgiving, I haven't been home in about 6 months. I would be going with you to the game. I promise.
Yeah, it's all good, man. Where's the The folks from the trailer park at those Bammers at? Why they ain't calling in? I call in. They're scared to call in. What's going on? Get Sonya. So give me somebody on the line to talk to.
Sonya, what's up, Sonya?
Where's Smelly at? You know me and Smelly's got a bet, right?
Hey, look at here, Shawty. You need to tone that smack down.
Listen.
I know you ain't over there talking no smack. Joker, you got to ride with me. You might want to be a little bit nicer. Because, see, I can watch the Iron Bowl at home. You the one going to be sitting there with some tickets. So you might want to just tone down that bass in that voice, okay?
Listen.
I ain't no listening nothing. Look at
you
him, Shawty.
You get on the phone and you talk so loud and you intimidate
I'm
people.
I'm
and this
me
is
tell
one
you
person
something.
That you can't intimidate, son. You don't intimidate. Bama don't scare me.
You can't even go to the toilet bowl. So don't be talking no smack about my team.
Listen. We know that Trey is the king of the toilet bowl. Every time he calls in, he's in the bathroom. You call in, you're in the bathroom. You call in tonight and you want to get all loud with me. And you think I'm just going to back down like some of these other people. I'm not.
Oh, that's Mac. You know I'm going to get loud on you.
At the end of the day, I represent Auburn and I represent to the fullest. When we go to the Iron Bowl,
I'm
going to represent it when I walk through all 107,000 of them Alabama fans and I walk in between them. And I'm going to walk up to Nick Saban, his 4'3" ass. And I'm going to say, "Hey, Nick, war eagle, baby, war damn eagle." And I'm going to look him in
what?
His eyes. I'm going to have to look down at him because he's so short. I'm 6'1".
All the
crystal
footballs that we got, step on top, pat you on your head and say, "Now go back to the plains, little boy." Now,
listen,
y'all got what, two?
Nick Saban ain't taller than Keyshawn.
Or something like that. I can't tell. Which one is it?
What'd you say, Sonya? Come back.
Is it every 50 years? Okay, what's this Auburn math? How long does it take y'all to get a national championship?
Okay, what's the Alabama math? I got the Alabama math. It's called convict music.
No, what it is, y'all kidnap
other people's titles. Y'all kidnap other people's titles. Penn State got stripped of all their victories for the last, I forgot how many years. Next thing I know, Alabama claims a Cotton Bowl, a Sugar Bowl, an Independence Bowl, and a Music City Bowl. You know, that's how y'all do it. Y'all rob from anybody, man. That's what y'all do in Alabama. You know, you take from anybody and you claim everything. Y'all got more trophies than anybody, but ESPN ain't claiming your trophies. Only Alabama does. At the end of the day, Alabama takes what they want and tries to get what they want, but they ain't taking nothing from Auburn. Come the 24th, this Saturday, y'all ain't taking nothing from Auburn.
What you smoking over there? God, give me your dealer number.
Because
if you really believe all that BS you just spouted.
Listen. You know, you sit back and you're laughing and giggling now because you're on the radio and you got a little audience. But I know when you get off the phone,
you're
gonna look across the couch in your living room in Jason's eyes and you're gonna say, "Baby, do you really think Auburn can beat me?" And when he looks at you back, he's gonna say, "I don't know." But in deep down in his heart, he knows that Auburn's got a chance, and I know deep down inside Auburn's got a chance, and I believe in Auburn, and I know what Auburn's gonna do come Saturday. I just got off the phone with my boy Gabe Wright earlier, number 90, and I told him that I got a bet on the line, and I got to wear an Alabama dress. Smelly's got a bet. If Alabama loses, I'm wearing a dress around Walmart. But Auburn's going to win, so he's going to wear an Auburn dress around Walmart. Me and him got a good bet going on. I got off the phone with Gabe Wright.
I can't wait to see that.
You need a pair of pantyhose, baby.
Listen,
you need a pair of pantyhose, because
I don't have to shave or nothing. So, you know, I'm going to wear Brian Denny.
And actually pull an upset, dude, I'm telling you, put the console down, back away from the TV, come back to the real world, and I want you to take a look at how you guys have been playing, and then take a look at how we have been playing. Now, after you do that, I want you to drink some water so you can flush all those drugs and those delusional meds out of your system, and then I want you to be a real fan and to really realistically look and say, can we really... We got beat by Ole Piss. Let's see. We got beat by almost every team in the SEC.
We only got
a win against out-of-conference cupcake games.
Okay.
And we think that we're going to big up Big Wolf, come to T-Town, step
Big
into
Wolf.
Big Denny, talk
Big
and just come and upset the number two team. Sweetie, y'all ain't got Cam. This ain't 2010.
No, listen, you've got it backwards. You've got the whole story down path, but you've looked at it sideways, and you overlooked the bigger picture. Auburn's coming into the Iron Bowl, knowing we ain't got no other bowl we're going to. We're not going to the Toilet Bowl. We're not going to the Porta John Bowl. We're not going to the Music City Bowl. We're going to the Iron Bowl. And we walk into that stadium, we got one game to play and one game only. So we're going to walk into the stadium with our head held high. We're going to look at their coach. Listen, we're going to look at their coach.
Now, what y'all gonna do when y'all lose? Are y'all gonna like unroll toilet paper and tumors or what? What's the deal?
Sonya, listen, you're still missing the point. We're going into Tuscaloosa. We're going into T-Town.
For a win, and you use Kleenex or paper towels.
We're underdog. Trey. My man, Tarvin, doesn't believe in Auburn. I got a lot of other people on the line that don't believe in Auburn, but at the end of the day, I believe in Auburn. And I know when we walk into that stadium, those kids are gonna we're gonna play with pride against the tide. And when we beat y'all, I want everybody to call in the next show right after that, and I want everybody to say Tino was right, and I want, you know, Sonya, I don't know, you want to bet me, I'll bet you too, but I want Smelly to post on YouTube and everywhere of him wearing that dress around Walmart. Hopefully,
the only thing you need to do is give them the link to your Facebook page so they can see you in that cute little dress, and what I'll do is I'll do your hair and makeup. We're going to make you look so cute. I got some Alabama earrings, sweetie. Oh, I'll do you up. We'll do your nails in red and crimson, and we'll do a little white stripe across the top, and I'll even paint a little A on your face. We're going to make you look like the best Amish Barner Bammer fan there ever was.
Well, let me tell you one thing.
Tino, hey, guys, we're about to run out of time. We got to cover it. But, Tino, I got to say something to you real quick, okay?
What's up?
I got to tell you, I believe in Auburn. Now, I don't want you to think I don't believe in Auburn, and I'm going to bring Sonya back on talking about Bama, but I believe in them, but the thing is, I hope they can go in the front and win. I'll be pulling for them, but will they? That's the question. I believe Auburn could, you know, go in and beat an Alabama team. I'm 36 years old, and I've seen it happen, but in order for it to happen, man, it's going to be tough. I think they could do it, but it's not likely, so...
Oh, without a doubt, anything's tough. And for you to say it's not likely is a understatement. But, you know, at the same time, we don't know what team Auburn's going to show up. Auburn has not showed up all year. They have not played to their potential all year, just being honest. And I'm hoping that this game right here, they play to their potential. We was at the Tiger Walk Saturday, and we actually got to speak to Trooper Taylor and Gene Chizik. It was, you know, pretty cool. But I think, you know, that these kids, this is their one chance at claiming some kind of pride to the season, something you can salvage. You got to dig deep down inside, you know, and I think that they'll dig in for this game and they'll play up their potential. As long as the game is close, I don't care who wins. I do not want to go to T-Town and get blowed out because I will walk back home if I do happen to ride with Sonya. I am not riding with her if we get blowed out. But I don't think, I'm pretty sure we're not going to get blowed out. I think we're going to beat them probably, if I was to guess, 24-17. That's what the score would be.
Well, Tino, man, thanks for the call, and I hope you're right, Trey. I think he can predict them. What do you think?
Well, I mean, if I'm going off Auburn's 3-0 Sun Belt record, then yeah, maybe that's a score. But I'll tell you, I really do hope this game is close, because I think it obviously is good for the rest of the BCS teams if Alabama struggles. So, but yeah, 34-point favorites for Alabama, rivalry game, anything can happen. But I mean, Auburn better go in. I mean, if Gene Chizik gets blown out for Auburn, I don't know that anything will save his job.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, that conversation before us is exactly why the Iron Bowl is the best rivalry in the country by far. I mean, this is where, you know, brothers and sisters don't speak for a year. You have family. I didn't talk to a brother-in-law of mine for about 8 months after that 2010 Iron Bowl. I mean, people really take this game serious, and it's because it's the Iron Bowl. And, man, nothing would surprise me in this game. I mean, it would make my year if Auburn could somehow pull this upset. And I'll be praying every day this week that they can. But, you know, for 11 games this year, Trey, they haven't shown up, in my opinion. For 11 games this year, Auburn hasn't played. So in order for them to show up this 12th one, I'm hoping they can, but it just doesn't seem likely with 11 games you haven't played good so far.
And then I haven't seen anything at this point to make me think that they're going to be competitive in this game. But, I mean, who knows, Tarvin? I mean, in Tuscaloosa, you know, Alabama could be struggling in this game. You just never know. So they could be looking ahead to the SEC championship game. So, Tino's going to hunt me down. Well, let's talk about the Oregon upset. I mean, the Stanford-Oregon, the freshman quarterback with Stanford, upset the Oregon Ducks. Let me ask you this. I know Jason wants to call in, so go ahead and call in, Jason, while I'm asking Tarvin this question. Was this game an indication of Oregon's weak schedule and lack of talent on the defensive side, or is this just one of those upsets that happen to a good team?
Well, I mean, I still think Oregon's a good team. Don't get me wrong, but I think the problem lies is when Oregon plays teams that play physical football, so far, you know, when I've watched them play, they played LSU, they played Auburn, they played Ohio State before I've seen them, but when teams run the ball physically on them and play defense, they have problems. I mean, it just shuts that offense down, and a freshman quarterback, he got rattled last night against that Stanford defense, and the longer that game went on, the more they believed they could beat Oregon. So Oregon lost confidence as the game went on, and I don't think Oregon sucks by no means or they're a bad team. I think Stanford, coached by David Shaw, is getting better week in and week out, and they're playing great football right now. If you look at their record and their BCS ranking, I mean, it says a lot.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this was a really tough game, but, you know, anytime you have a team like this, that, you know, and I talked about this last year for the Alabama game, I just think when you lose at home in November to a team, you know, like this, I do think you should get punished a little bit in the polls. It does seem like, you know, if you lose earlier in the year to a game like this, it doesn't matter, or it matters more. Where it seems like you lose in November, these kind of games, you don't get hit as hard in the polls. And I'm not really sure I understand that. Because Oregon, you know, they're missing that signature win this year over that big team. So, for me, this game kind of puts them out of the national championship hunt for me.
Yep, and Trey, what are you in, the Air Force? Smelly's in the National Guard. Smelly's in the National Guard. My buddy Josh Beard, you know him, he's in the National Guard. He was just asking. But I'm going to bring on the biggest Duck fan on our show, Mr. Jason Humphrey. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Brian? How you doing? First, I'm going to rant, and then I'm going to take questions and whatnot. First off, Oregon's defense last night played amazing. They played the tails off. I'm just really disappointed. The offense couldn't do jack with those three turnovers that our defense gave us to, and we did nothing with them. Number two, give credit for Stanford. Stanford beat us. They flat out beat us. And you can't take anything away from Stanford. And number three, I think Chip Kelly's aggressiveness. We had a possession down there inside the 10 yard, inside the 10, and it was fourth down, and we went for it. We should have kicked a field goal. Hopefully our kicker made it, but we didn't. So that's one of the big plays. So.
Well, Jason, man, I'm sorry your team lost last night. I know it. I mean, you're a big Oregon Duck fan, and you show up with class. After the game, I saw you congratulating Stanford for a great game. And you never know, Jason. You guys could backdoor into a championship.
Yeah, I'll bet. Hopefully so, but first we got to take care of business against Oregon State. What I want to say is Oregon fans, some Oregon fans out there really pissed me off. Because they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to get to a national title. And wait a minute. Oregon football has never been this good. That's 4 years stretch, back-to-back, ten-win season. It's never been done. Won the cuts of four straight BCS bowls. Not a lot of teams could say that. And we've been a constant top 10 team week in, week out under Chip Kelly. I love where Oregon's at, and I'm proud of my Ducks, and I always will be.
Yeah, well, Jason, I asked you a question last week. Remember, you gave me the coach's answer. I said, you know, what about USC in the Pac-12 championship game? And you were worried about Stanford, and honestly, I wasn't worried about Stanford for Oregon.
Yeah.
So what worried you the most in that game when you said that? Was it Stanford could play good and beat you, or was it just I don't know? You tell me.
The physicality they play at. They play real physical. The front seven, if you watch that game, number 11, Scove, I think his name is, he's a really good linebacker. He should probably be an All-American. So Stanford just plays physical and whatnot. I know it's the same old story, but physical teams give Oregon problems, bottom line. And I don't know why Chip doesn't adjust to it or whatnot. So, yeah.
Well, Jason, I think it's the offense Oregon runs. It's fast-paced, fast-tempo, fast-scoring. You can't have big, fat linemen and linebackers out there playing because they would wear out too quick being on the field. But I think it's scheme as well. I just think something that they're not doing. But when you're getting manhandled up front, when you're smaller than someone, it's huge in football. And I think they just need to go after bigger defensive linemen and just rotate them, just keep rotating and rotating them, or slow the pace down. Let's slow it down a little bit.
Well, last night with the defense, if you ask me on a Friday we're going to be plus two turnover battle, the defense is going to force three turnovers, and the defense is going to slow down stuff on Taylor, he didn't have really that big run to kill us, I would say, yeah, we won. We forced three turnovers, fine, and we got no points. That was the difference of the game.
Yep, and Oregon's a very opportunistic team. And, Jason, thanks for the call, bud. We're getting close to out of time. We're going to have to wrap up here. But Trey, Jason Humphrey's a class act.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt bad for him. I actually thought about that when the Ducks were playing. Obviously, I appreciate any of the top losses just because, you know, I love the BCS shakedown when my team's not up there. But, you know, it's always good to see fans that are pretty classy. And I got to say that, you know, being out here on the West Coast, I do see a lot of Oregon fans, and I'm always pretty impressed with them. They actually show pretty good class.
And I was very impressed with the class that he showed. There's some Oregon fans I didn't see show too much class, but you know, he's one of them that did, and kudos, Jason. You represent us well here, and you represent your Ducks well. But, hey, Trey, just before we go tonight, we're going to do our show again, in case you didn't hear, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. We are staff picked, so we need everybody's support, if you can, to come out and join us. And also our show is going to air Thursday on Thanksgiving Day and be staff picked as well. So we hope everybody can come out, because this week is going to be huge in football. This is rivalry week, and this is setting the table up, you know, to see who can make the national championship. So we need everybody's fan base represented out here. And also on Twitter, it's getting more active. Trey's out there working their Twitter account, getting it better. Follow us at Weigh-In Sports. And also go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino and follow Weigh-In Sports. That way you'll get all of our updates. Go to Facebook. We have a page that you can like us on. And also we have a Weigh-In Sports message group that you can get in and pick games with us every week. Just talk. Tell us what you want to listen to. There's some great people on that board. So I just hope everybody comes out and supports our show. And the message board is starting to build. We have probably over 500 members, I believe. So everybody come join our group. Request it, and we'll add you to the group, and we'll have some fun. Trey, you want anything in closing?
Well, no, just, this week, college football obviously is as big as it was last week. Just look out for those upsets. I mean, rivalry week will get to some of those teams. Some team will lose that's not supposed to this week. And then you have some very big matchups this week. It's going to be a tough call. I know game day is going to Notre Dame or to the Notre Dame-USC game. But I'm not even sure that's even the biggest game. So we'll have to see. And there's a lot of big games that are going to shake up the BCS when it comes down to the computer polls and rankings, and that are going to matter for those teams that are 3, 4, and 5 who are trying to make that BCS championship game. So this week will matter just as much as last week did.
And then, Tino, if Auburn pulls off the win, bring Sonya and Jason, instead of taking them back to Atlanta, bring them over here to Dunwoody, close to Atlanta, and bring them by me, because I would really love to see the look on their faces if they're in Tuscaloosa, Trey, and Auburn pulls a big upset.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a huge deal, because that'll wreck Alabama's chances of that game. So anything can happen in this week.
Yeah, and I think does Oregon State and Oregon play this week, or is it the? It is this weekend, right?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great week of football. The Florida State Florida game. So we're going to break down all of the top rival games. And we're going to break down the ones that mean the most as well. So if you have a rival game you want to talk about, go to Facebook, join our group, Weigh In Sports Talk, and we'll get you in, and we'll talk about your rivalry. So even if it's not a big rivalry in other people's minds, if it is to yours, we'll talk about it. But thanks for everyone listening tonight. Another big show, and we really appreciate everybody's support. Thanks for everybody that called in, too, and joined us on the chat room and listening live on the computer now. So Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, we are staff picked, and we would love to have everybody join us. So mark your calendars. It's not a regular night. So, Trey, again, thanks for being a great co-host and doing a great job on the show, man.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you guys Tuesday.
All right. See you, bud.
Woo!